is many will go, you know, based on our production, that will be, you know, how this community is reflected by. And so, you know, again, I look forward to an exciting year. And so I just wanted to preface by saying, you know, I think the goal for me as the chair of the committee is to enrich the lives of our constituents as best we can. And so provided that, you know, it's an open floor, you know, so I encourage everyone to bring ideas and initiatives, but, you know, presumably we all have similar goals. And so for me, what that looks like is, you know, networking and collaborating with community partners, such as, you know, Cornell Cooperative Extension, Columbia Opportunities, the Columbia Green County Community College. This past November, myself, Tiffany Garriga, I'm drawing a blank. The commissioner at List Towers. Randall Martin. We attended a workshop with the director of the college, along with the dean of students, to get an overview of the construction program that they have going on at the college. And our thoughts was that we could, you know, the city council could collaborate with such entities to, again, enrich the lives of our constituents. Specifically with this program, it is a construction certification program. And essentially, students are able to come away from that program with practical skills, ones that they can apply not only to themselves and their loved ones, but essentially to the community. You know, Hudson is always renovating, and, you know, we're looking for, you know, I think the vocational skill set is very much needed in this current economy. And so, you know, that is my goal for this committee, is to push forward such initiatives. And again, with that in mind, you know, I think each member has a great skill set to offer. And that's just one of the goals that I have. But, you know, bottom line, you know, I think we should be here kind of putting our constituents first, and just seeing to it that we are doing what we can do on our end to at least meet them halfway. And, you know, that looks like just kind of providing outreach, and just making a platform for us to have open dialogue with the community, and, you know, gathering data and what it is they want to see happen. You know, and so, yeah, that's I'll open up with that. Did you, either of you, like to add anything, Jane?
Well, I think it's ambitious. I'm pleased to hear all the stuff. I've got some questions about construction certification program. Mm-hmm. Is that just construct? Is it limited to construction like carpentry and drywalling and the things that build houses, or does it include, or is there something separate that would address plumbing and electrical skill sets?
Yes, and so to address this more in detail, my goal is to bring in the instructor to give us an overview of the curriculum, you know, the pricing, how many credits you need to graduate, etc.
Okay.
But to answer your question, my takeaway was that they will be equipped with the basics. So they will have a basic understanding of electrical work. They'll have a basic concept of plumbing. They'll be able to put up drywall, and you know, they'll be able to use their hammer and tools. And, you know, again, I think it's, you know, a service that we can create and unpack. We have transportation up and going. You know, I think that will, that will take a lot of stress off of people's shoulders, I think, because, you know, as we know, transportation has been, you know, something that we've been struggling with.
Yes.
As a community.
Deal killer.
What's that?
I said often it's a deal killer.
You're dead in the water. And so, so that would be the answer to that question.
I have another one.
Yeah, absolutely.
I promise I won't add you. Is there any format set, you know, process by, and maybe this is a question for the person running the certification program, that leads to sort of job opportunities. Do they do anything like placement? Do they host job fairs?
Yes. So the in collaborating with the college and the construction program, the notion was that they would come to Bliss Towers, almost like have an admissions night, and they would put out brochures and all the information about the program and make it available to the public. Because to your point, Jane, all of this information was at the college, and it was a struggle for folks to get there. And so, essentially, in the curriculum, they have to do an internship. So a potential site could be Bliss Towers, where they're actually putting up drywall and fixing the roofing and things to that kind. And so, I think it's an effort that's worthwhile, because it's not really, I think it's cost efficient. One that we're not necessarily spending a ton of money. We're just kind of, connecting the dots and, presenting opportunity.
Yeah. Okay. So that was a question. So they entered the program. Who pays the tuition?
The student.
The student pays.
Yeah, we're just kind of coordinating services.
Right. Okay. Because so we're not sending anybody there.
No.
Has there been any discussion about? I know that there's work ongoing at West Towers. Is there any discussion with the contractor there as to whether they would be interested or willing to hire?
Like I said, Randall Martin, he was involved in this meeting as well, and this was actually his thought, utilizing the services of these students who will graduate with the certificate and actually applying their skill set in a needed area, being Bliss Towers.
How long is the program? Is it a free program?
I want to say it's fairly brief, it's fairly quick. I want to say it's about a year, year and a half.
Okay.
I just wanted to add to what you're saying, Calvin. HUD actually requires, or I shouldn't say requires, but asks that any project funded under HUD includes people who live or are engaged with that building. So in other words, people who live at Bliss potentially are the first people who they should be trying to employ in some thing.
Oh, I see.
It's something written in the HUD regulations.
Job creation for the residents of HUD properties.
Right. Yeah.
And again, my goal is to bring folks in from the program to speak more to it.
So is this kind of, you're done wrong with the question, is this then, because of what Tom said, focus specifically, is this one, this would be one project, one initiative, focused on HUD, sorry, I beg your pardon, on Bliss residents, or would this be something that would be open to anybody?
Absolutely. It was just that seemed like a good starting point, considering the need. And it was essentially twofold, because you would be getting applicants to the program, so you're helping out the college, and then in return, you are helping out the residents, empower themselves, because I think folks are struggling in the job market, and here and now they are, in a lack of a better term, they're kind of left to be in the service field, the service industry. And, provided that they have this skill set, it pays to be a plumber. It pays to be a contractor. It pays to be an electrician. And so they can pull themselves out of the hole and essentially become homeowners and give back to their community.
Well, and they can earn a very, respectable living.
Absolutely.
So when does it start? I mean, what's the next step to make it happen?
Yeah, so like I said, it was kind of, we were in the works. Last we left off, Randall was kind of, he was checking, so essentially I'll have to follow up with Randall and members of the college. And as I said, my goal is to invite them to our, my goal is to invite them to our next meeting. I'll put that. But, you know, of course, that's pending on their availability as well.
Right. So, but your broad time frame, not holding you to this, just trying to get an idea of sort of if it takes a year, if the program takes a year and we're kind of...
Don't quote me on that.
No. But, I mean, that would be a reasonable.
Right.
You know, two semesters.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And this is... I'm just trying to think of the school year. And so it sounds like the earliest this could start would be in the summer semester.
Yes,
like
in the
June of 20 to June of 21.
Right.
Okay. Because it would take 6 months to set it up and recruit the students and work it out and work with the school's calendar and that kind of stuff. So is that a reasonable, I mean,
to
a lot of moving parts
out
there.
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's,
so,
I'd say that's
a
possible timeline.
A date, a start date, you know, goals. So
right,
it's not just
this summer, essentially.
Right, so if we're looking at June 2020,
mm-hmm.
as a start date to get this thing underway.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something to...
So this construction program is already ongoing, right?
Correct.
So it maybe kill two birds with one stone when you bring... in the people from the college,
mm-hmm.
maybe have it at the library so there can be some more attendees, you know,
absolutely.
Tap into the library in terms of their, you know, contacts for,
right.
'Cause I know they have a job thing there and, you know, so.
Yeah, Bliss Towers is just an example, but the goal is to essentially take the program that they're offering and, you know, put them at different sites throughout the community.
No, I'm talking about when you bring in to college to show them, to introduce this, you know, kind of explain the construction program. You're going to bring them in and say what this program is, kind of deal, right? Is that
right.
The goal?
Yeah.
So I'm saying maybe do it at the library. It's a bigger venue, and maybe more people can come to invite the public. So, you know, it's so they can see what's, you know, what that is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and, you know, put signage at Bliss Towers, you know, make it, you know, because if it's going to start possibly in the summer and we do it, you know, you want to get as many people there as possible to be interested and just, you know, getting, you know, involved,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Peter, you want to ask?
I just want to throw in, I think it sounds like a great idea. The program runs September to August. It's a semester in the fall, a semester in the spring, and then a summer internship as the third component of the program.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Is that a paid internship?
There was the hope that they might be able to be, but I was told about the program before it started in this last spring. They didn't have any funding for them to be paid. But they were doing outreach to organizations like Habitat for Humanity,
right.
and community groups to place people in those organizations. And there was the hope that either some of those organizations could co-fund or that there might be some angels who they could attract who would fund these internships. At that point, they were unpaid internships. But there was the hope that that might change, so it might have.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the idea is that it's not limited to just Bliss Tower residents, right?
Sure.
It's broader. So
yeah.
The idea of holding one recruitment event.
That's what I'm trying to avoid. We won't be having just one recruitment event. It'll
exactly.
be multiple.
Multiple, right.
Yeah,
so one could be at the library, one could be at Bliss, one could be.
Right. And this would be constant because, you know, as I said, it would be a dual partnership between the college and the community. So it would be a full-hearted effort to draw in as many people as possible. And I think the most efficient way to do that is to go to different sites.
Right, and the goal is to, from this point and at least to summer, to do as much in that time frame to get them started in September.
Right. Recruitment heavy in that
mm-hmm.
time period.
Right.
And presumably the college would be doing some of the recruitment as well. I mean, they're just marketing the
program. We are just, you know, yes, yes. To answer the question.
Well, that's...
I mean, I see a lot of help wanted for handymen,
right.
People for job sites and everything already on Facebook.
Yeah,
and I mean, you know, there's definitely a need out there. There's a lack of
skilled trades.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
And you know, I think our community, you know, suffers in that regard. You know, I think folks, you know, I guess in so many ways, I feel like we need to retrain our community. Because, you know, they have a skill set that is not necessarily applicable to the current market. Therefore, they're left to be in these service jobs. And so provided, you know, this is, I guess it's kind of another initiative, but kind of two in the same. You know, again, just making these community partners available to folks so that they can obtain certifications, become skilled in whatever they need to in order to acquire gainful employment.
I think we also maybe should, at these recruiter events, mm-hmm. is maybe also invite some kind of funding sources that are out there, whether it's going to be, you know, how to apply for something,
right.
If there's grants out there or for this kind of work, if there's even... a construction company that might sponsor someone, you know, to go to this training so they can work for that company. Mm-hmm. Because the funding, I mean, the cost is going to be, you know, something if somebody can't afford,
yeah.
you know, to go.
It's not going to be cheap.
Right. So, you know, and, you know, if workforce has money or if, the Northeast. The Northeast job planning, whatever, if they have some kind of funding or something,
mm-hmm.
or they might have some individuals that are eligible for Access VR that they will pay for the construction.
Access VR?
Yeah, Access VR is a vocational program. Say if somebody has a disability or somebody has you know, sponsorship, or mm-hmm. if they're eligible for Access VR, Access VR will pay for education for vocational. You know, there's two tracks Access VR will pay. Educational for college for, educational for, you know, expanding that aspect. If you want to be a teacher, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm.
But they also will do, job. If it's a certificate program, you know, the automotive or whatever. So they have to actually fund that program for them to go to that's something too. And it might be Access VR, I know the eligibility on the disability side and that side,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know if there's an income side that might help for they, are eligible for it, if that's one of the avenues that also will fund it. But it's something. I mean, I can look into Access VR to see what exactly their eligibilities are.
Right.
But I think they might be somebody that at least could be at the table because I know a lot of individuals with disabilities that are in this trade that are doing that work for Co-Arc in the maintenance departments
mm-hmm.
And I think this might be a great tool for them to have extra. Training, so they can actually, the goal is also you can work construction, but then you can also work a side business, your side hours.
Right.
You know, on the weekends you have your side jobs you can do too.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that would be the goal.
Yeah,
because I think by empowering, by helping our constituents empower themselves, and in turn we're enriching the community, we're empowering the community.
Are you envisioning any oversight of the individual's progress once they enter the program, or once they enter the program they're on their own and it's up to them to finish it? I mean, who...
Are you saying how are we accountable?
Well, or do we just put the parties together and, the kids are...
Well, that's the thing. It's open to whomever, So this could apply to an 18-year-old...
Or
18-year-old, you know what I mean?
I see.
If you can do the job, you can do the job next week.
Okay, Okay, so it could, as you pointed out, retraining, not just introductory training.
Right.
Okay, so regardless of the age of the person, I'll call them a student.
Right, yeah.
Do you envision this committee, or for that matter, the council, having any oversight responsibility for the people, the people's progress, the people's completion of the
like a tracking
program, like a tracking, or you know, what happens if they, I don't know, something occurs in their lives and that disrupts their educational progress, and what commitment are we making once the student is accepted in the program, box checked, everybody's happy, they're engaged, and then what happens? I mean, what is our involvement at that point? Not to be able to decide tonight.
My presumption is that, you know, the school has those resources to track, you know, retention, matriculation, all the sorts. They have these, you know, tools in place provided. You know, I don't think we necessarily have that equipped here and now, and it's there.
I would agree.
What Jane's trying to say, and I think it would be a great idea, is for us to have kind of a number that we want to say, for example, 5 successfully going through the program, you know, just for starters, you know, and then next time around we go for 10, you know, because, you know, if we start too big, we fail. Sure. But if you're looking at saying all this work, the goal is to successfully have 5 city residents.
Right.
Successfully go through this program and pass it.
Mm-hmm.
And graduate and move forward, whatever. And then next time around, you know, and then at that time we can kind of tweak whatever worked but didn't work, and then go for 10.
Right.
You know, so I think that might be something. And it's great, 5, but if 10 go and graduate at the same time, that's great. But I think having a target number will allow us to say, okay, this recruitment, we got 3. Okay, all right, let's next year we at least need 2 or 3 more, and then we got this number, we keep going with it, but now we have a number that we can actually say, you know, this endeavor successfully had 5, you know, go through a program and pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I just want to clarify what I meant is, and I agree with you, once those 3 or 5 or whatever our target number is accepted and they're on their way, then we step back from it because the schools has the capacity, the resources, to follow up.
Right.
We're not educators and we're not social service people and we're not.
Yeah,
we're putting the 2-part.
This is just, I think, should be the springboard to that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Kind of like the diving board. They jump off,
exactly.
Boom, they're in the pool, and they're swimming.
And they're swimming.
Because my notion is.
Yeah, Mike just made that analogy.
My thought on this is we're bringing the horse to the lake, in one sense, and, you know, provided it's up to them to take advantage of the opportunity.
That's just what I want to be clear about.
Right. Mm-hmm. Did you want to add something, Peter?
Yeah.
Just to add that I know that the college is very committed to making sure that the kids stay there.
Mm-hmm.
They provide financial aid. They have
right.
an excellent daycare center. They can provide gas cards to kids if they need that. There's a lot of support services there to help kids stay in the program and follow through. And, you know, they have all those layers in place.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the idea would be to trust it.
Right.
You know, this is their expertise.
This is an area I have some familiarity with, so understanding that is really important because there's a number of issues that can interrupt the education process.
Right, and they're very committed to,
yeah.
you know, getting to completion.
That's excellent. Good to know that they've got it handled on. Okay.
And, you know, this isn't the only initiative, you know. Like I said, I'm open to ideas. You know, Jane, you are very big thing.
You can go set.
No, I mean, I appreciate all of it. And so, you know, I don't want it to seem like this is a closed shop.
Oh,
you know?
No.
So if you all, or if you each have something you want to present or an idea, you know, we can discuss it, unpack it, and, you know, deliver it.
Oh, thank you. And I, just from this soldier's opinion, I understand that this is but one idea. I mean, and
right.
I think, I mean, I could fully endorse it, but it wouldn't necessarily be the only thing we would.
Right, no, not at all.
I've been thinking along the lines of the sort of burgeoning, maybe it's burgeoned, I don't know, but media production, I'll call it an industry, I don't know, that is apparent in town. I know there's a, or I don't know, my understanding is there's some sort of post-production thing either in play or in development on Green Street in that white building by that butcher, that Applestone place.
Okay.
And
that's where my office is.
Near the bank, near Key Bank. Oh, yeah, right.
I don't know, I might be wrong on that. But.
Yeah, no, no, there's nothing there.
There's nothing there.
Rivertown, I mean, Riverhouse is a post-production facility.
And that was the other one I was going to mention, and that's the one I'm more familiar with. Sort of in my neck of the woods.
Riverhouse, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was the former Allen Street School. So it is on the second in the 200 block of Allen Street. And it is that massive brick building. Looks like what it used to be, a school. And it underwent a years-long renovation to create these, my understanding, state-of-the-art post-production facilities. With the, I hope I'm not misrepresenting this, my understanding is that the, you know, to attract even, you know, feature length filmmakers and that, and for editing and sound and video.
They had both.
Stuff.
They had production.
Different
size rooms allow for different, some companies, small production companies, take over a room and do it all their work, beginning work as well as post-production.
Oh, beginning of pre-production.
Yeah, so it's across
the board. Okay.
And then there are rooms where you can just rent for editing.
And right, that's
so there's
one.
All kinds of things.
And it's audio as well as
yep.
It's everything. So, and maybe they're flying high and they're, you know, zinging and
they're pretty occupied.
They're pretty. So maybe they need. I don't know how that. How we could fit into that scheme, but how it would help. I mean, if they're a going concern, then they're a going
right.
concern. I don't know that it is.
I think the more urgent, and this is just something you hear, you know, workspace, the so-called maker space,
yeah.
It's not so much maker, but I think there's, and I think I've read about one in development that's, you know, if you have a graphic design or anything that's kind of internet related.
Right, digital.
Yeah, that you need a space to get out of your house, do it out of your house.
Right.
You need something that's relatively expensive. I thought I saw somewhere that someone's developing one of those around here. There have been other, I know that a lot of people are talking about it, and that's possible. I'm not sure what role you could have in that, but
there's I don't know what it's called.
What's that one?
In the old Furlong?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's a co-working space.
Okay.
You sure about that?
Yeah, a guy named, do you know
who you know Norman Rush?
Oh, this is the old Kentucky Fried Chicken.
To the left of Furlong, yeah.
I thought it was
Furlong. No,
Furlong
is
Trinity Bakery.
The one
well, it's just next to.
Well, it has
so
a big poster
bakery.
In the window.
Oh,
so
Furlong's
like,
left of that.
Right,
okay.
Right,
how
because
long
it's going to be the bakery.
That's it.
Partner.
That's the one, exactly the one I saw. They're going to try
it's
to.
A co-working space.
Right.
But I don't know how many desks that is.
And the key is to have access to the fiber optic that's in the alleyway. Both alleys have broadband.
It's a long way around. I'm trying to. Okay.
Broadband's always a subject that's worth pursuing on economic development.
Yeah.
You know, to further extend it into the city in some fashion. Right now, it's just there. Very expensive startup cost because you have to connect. But that's why, you know, a cooperative thing makes sense, because then you just want to
share
that expense.
Yeah.
So thank you. That's exactly what I'm saying. For, I can never remember which one's for a long term.
Yeah.
Because to the right of that is a big bakery surrounding project going in.
Speaking to the Riverhouse project, I've spoken to Melissa before, and it's, I mean, when you talk about pre-production or post-production, it's also set building, which does involve a lot of trades.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be part of a larger regional economic development initiative to bring more filming up here,
right,
and base themselves. And you know, when Melissa speaks about it, she may be speaking more eloquently than realistically, but the idea, as was communicated to me, was to bring people in Hudson into the trades and into the industry and give them job opportunities throughout the Hudson Valley as the Hudson Valley attracts families.
Right, and she endeavors to become the locus for that kind of stuff.
She does a very good job of making herself a locus.
You should invite Melissa to come and...
Who is Melissa?
Yeah.
Melissa
off tomorrow.
No. From Brazil.
Tell us about what they're planning for Riverhouse, because it seems to be, you know, they're creating their own little economic development hub there. So.
Yeah.
There are two other projects you should be aware of. One is, both of them DRI funded, by the way, not city for the city, but DRI projects that were funded independently. William and Farmer Son has the money to create a hospitality workforce development project. I don't know what state it's at, whether they've begun their preliminary work or not. Secondly, there was 150, that project is pretty well funded.
I beg your pardon, is that a DRI funded project?
It is, yes. And there was a second one for, I think, $150,000 that was originally given to HDC, but they handed it over to the Chamber of Commerce. And that's a more broad workforce development project, and I don't even know exactly the details of that one.
Was that promoting tourism?
No.
Or it was just the Chamber of Commerce?
But you don't know... Like,
yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Okay, so that's on
the list. We're talking about the city once.
Would that be a matter of reaching out to Mr. Hunt?
Yes.
Okay.
That was what I was
asking. Who's Hunt?
Jeff Hunt.
Jeff Hunt is... Oh, yeah.
And Kristen Kirk, Keck, is your contact for the other one.
At Farmers.
William Farmers is in the restaurant.
Chris, what was her name?
K-E-C-K. Kristen.
Tom, are the GRI projects that aren't going through the city, I know that you have your GRI team, do you guys keep tabs on the other GRI projects?
As much as we can.
As much as
we
can.
You know, they have the problem that we had up until last week, until this week.
Yeah.
They have very hard to connect with the state departments that are supposed to be running it. All projects have a state authority that they deal with. Say Department of State, Department of Parks, you know, all well, different things. So you have to then get all your contracts, your basic, the contract that enables you to proceed, done through, signed by all these entities. And they're having that problem that we have. They're even having a problem getting to figure out who their contact person is. We know who ours is, Jamie Ether. Works for I don't even remember which one of the entities, but so they're having problems. But they're some of them are more ahead than others.
Is it that they are just having problems finding a navigator to help them through this? Is it
no? In fact, I think some of them are probably better equipped for it than we are.
Yeah.
I mean, Kaisness has, for example, a superb grant writer and. They've managed a number of grants very well, so. You know, the thing about DRI is to realize that the state themselves really don't know what they're doing. I mean, this is a pretty new program. It's only now four times, I guess?
Yeah,
three or four?
They're around four now,
so it's only been done three times. You know, it's a managerial nightmare in some ways. You know, it's like a lot of projects that have to go through the state bureaucracy.
Yeah, and the group that it appears to me, having spent the day in opening, that the people who are really dogged about it and the ones who are really on it with the grants and the follow-up and whatever are come away.
This is why this week was so significant, that we finally started calling them and bugging them to sign this contract. And they did. Got D.B. Barrett involved, which was crucial.
I appreciate that. It's really important. But, okay, so...
You know how it used to, I mean, assemblymen and state senators and assemblymen used to be able to dole out this money more independently.
On themselves, yeah.
Members of grants.
Right, and then it was pulled in by Cuomo to do this big show.
But it's still, that doesn't mean the money's gone away.
No, so
accessing
not.
It is a little more contrived
than
it used to be.
Correct.
So, but the point is that it's still there, just got to work out.
Yep. Well, there was a rumor that I was coming to. But one of the suggestions at the last year I made was that maybe there wasn't the money there, but clearly it is, for us anyway.
Well, yeah.
Is there any program that's done already out of the three or four?
Apparently, Glen Falls has done some other stuff.
I mean, wasn't Glen Falls the first one?
I think they were in the first year, yeah.
And I thought you have 2 years to get it done, right?
That, you know, they say that, but given their own...
Yeah,
you know,
they drag it. 2 years on
rules. That's what
stage
we're
time.
You know? But it pays to be aggressive as a municipality in this process.
Oh, absolutely.
Absolutely.
You've done
it.
So it just seems like opening up a conversation with Melissa Oftermore, with Kristen Keck, with Jeff Hunt, just to feel them out, to see where they are,
mm-hmm.
and see
how we can collaborate.
Can we fit in? Are they fine? Thanks. What's the story? What do they need? What can you bring? What can you help? Leverage their initiatives or help them in some way.
Melissa is doing very well. They've hired grant writers and they've succeeded in getting a lot of money. And we might be thinking about how they could help us.
Well, maybe that's the question.
Yeah.
I don't know what the conversation is. I don't know what. You know, until you sort of sit down and say, how could we be part of your success?
Yeah.
Nobody is so successful they can't
absolutely
be managed. You know, they can't benefit from some further leverage. And nobody's that successful,
right.
Not even Melissa.
In the original proposal for River House, I don't know if it changed in the final tally. It included a community workforce development aspect, and that was leveraged as part of how she got the grant. And I think that I often see this with other grants, and you know, because there's a large under resourced population in Hudson often gets these grants, you know, to serve that population, and then ultimately, that population doesn't get served. Somehow, in the end, the workforce development part of it never really happens. So I think to bring all of these people in and talk to them and see, you know, where there might be room to work with them,
mm-hmm.
to pursue these things would be terrific.
I think just having a conversation.
Exactly.
I mean, you've got to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And if, you know, if she got the grant in part, I mean, you know, this is jumping ahead, way ahead, but if she got the grant in part on the commitment to workforce development in the community, then...
Again, I don't want to say that.
No,
for sure.
And
operations aren't the same thing.
It's not like a pilot where you actually have a clawback. But if you don't create jobs, you can take back the pilot.
No, she doesn't lose it,
right.
but it doesn't look good when she wants to do the next one.
Yeah.
So she... You know, I mean, that's a box she's got to check. I don't know. I don't want.
Do you know?
I have no idea.
It's having a spark.
What is spark? A spark?
No. What's that?
In the old county.
Oh,
spark is.
That's what they're calling.
No, it's called spark.
What
is
it?
Susan Danziger.
Yeah, Susan Danziger and Albert Wagner.
It's a proposed something that was
in another Republican's part, but
proposed as a possible co-working makerspace, workforce development. You know, everyone uses the same buzzwords.
Mm-hmm. They were.
They were.
Right now, I know
we are. They had to do a huge amount of asbestos remediation. It's the building at
the old Kosky accounting firm
at Fifth and Union.
Fifth and Union.
It's a very large building.
East corner.
Oh, the one that had that plastic wrap around it.
Yes, yes. So there'll be asbestos abatement. So they're gutting the building, and they want to do something.
Oh, yes, right.
And it's an opportunity fund thing,
yes.
So that they have to do something with it that has some give back to the community.
It's an opportunity zone investment.
Opportunity zone investment, thank you.
And they've met with people here, including Peter and myself, and I've met the architects who are involved, and they seem to have dropped off for a while, but maybe they'll get back. Actually, it's working to reach out to them, because they are interested in talking to the city.
Well,
they're not looking for anything from us financially, I mean, but
no.
In fact, that's part of the opportunity zone. You have to be a property tax-paying entity. You can't just... They're getting that huge break from the feds for being an opportunity zone.
Right, but they're not going
to use it. They invest capital gains, so they don't have to pay capital gains tax.
Their plan is to pay property tax.
Right.
Here.
Right. They're getting a break from the federal government.
From the federal government.
And we benefit because they have to pay property tax.
Oh, poor them. Okay. So it's Susan Danziger and
Albert Wagner.
You guys have contact information
mm-hmm.
for them? And you know them, Peter?
I know them pretty well.
Tom's
You
yeah.
are a cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I think, yeah, you know, they're having a graduation of the college on January 25th, but the CEDC did a youth workforce program there, and their first 13 students were graduating, and those kids are being put into, I said kids, they love the adults. Are being put, I believe, into paid internships as a result of that. And
into the SPARK program?
And that's SPARK. This program is county-wide, so it would not be just for kids and people in Hudson.
Wait.
But it would include, it could include in the future certainly more kids from Hudson.
But now I'm confused. Is the thing you were just talking about with CEDC?
SPARK. I stopped. I'm sorry.
Okay.
And I said, you know, if you want to sort of like get a broader picture of a lot of different things happening in workforce development, another one is a program that the CEDC funded with some additional funding from outside grants to do a workforce development program. And I can give you the contact information for that. Their first cohort of 13 students are graduating in 2 weeks, but then there's going to be another cohort.
Actually, talking to the CEDC, Columbia Economic Development Council,
mm-hmm.
was another thought that I had, just to sort of see where there might be.
That's fine. Mike Tucker's happy to talk to you.
I know. I mean, yeah, I know.
I mean, I think that there's a lot that you as a committee could accomplish just by helping connect some of the dots between all these different programs.
Yeah.
Because what's challenging for a lot of young people is just not having access to information. There's no clearinghouse, you know. There's no job office anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is. It's just not technically necessary.
In theory, HDC is a workforce development entity.
Right.
It's part of their mission. And they are a public agency, despite a history of behaving otherwise. And I think it's important to put pressure on them to live up to this, you know? They neglected it
mm-hmm.
in their other pursuit.
Mm-hmm. So,
James, sorry, you had also talked last night about wanting to look into ways that we could promote more businesses, home-based businesses, businesses off of the Warren Street corridor.
Right.
And I think that would be terrific if, you know, there. I think one of the most important things for economic development in Hudson in the last 2 years was removing the parking minimums. And if there are other things like that in the code or in the zoning that could be changed that would allow more businesses to develop organically, you know, from within the community, that would be terrific.
Yeah, I feel really strongly about that. I don't know if I made this clear last night. I see that, though, as a longer range thing, because I see it as part and parcel of a kind of a overhaul of zoning. Because it just, I don't know. I
agree with you. I think piecemeal zoning would be a mistake because it would involve all these overlays.
Yeah.
And you end up with a city that has a ton of overlays that is almost incomprehensible.
Yeah.
And a lot of angry people.
And a lot of angry people.
So, you know, there's no upset there.
But, there's still areas that are commercial, that allow commercial already that are potential. I mean, the whole Green Street, Columbia East, or, you know, parts of Columbia Street, these are areas that, you know, you see a lot of things happening because they're the only places people can afford.
Well, and some of the few that are left.
Right.
That don't require a zoning over.
Mm-hmm.
Well, so Peter, just to address the thing that I said last night, I absolutely am, you know, that, but I'm hoping I mentioned that it would take collaboration with some, collaboration with the zoning issue, because I just think it's a bigger project than,
It can be, because, for example, there's been an effort to try to get a restaurant back into a property in a neighborhood that, believe it or not, is not unified about whether they want that restaurant there.
Do you mean the old...
The Basil Nooks, Jamaican...
Oh, that guy, yeah.
Yeah, there's one example. I mean, a lot of people want it. There are plenty of people in there who don't want it. So it's got to be part of a larger process to decide that.
Absolutely. And that's another reason not to sort of treat everyone like a unicorn.
Right.
It's nobody has that. It's a waste of time.
Yeah. I certainly agree with Tom, and I don't think spot zoning or overlays or any of that stuff is a good idea. I guess what I was really trying to say is, often when you hear people talk about economic development, it seems to only be about attracting outside business in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's important. I'm not saying not to do that. But I thought it was great that you were also looking at it through the lens of how can we build up more business from within Hudson.
And even though I've just said, I am really, really big. Yes, I spoke about entrepreneurs, and I feel really strongly about within the existing constraints, encouraging, supporting,
absolutely,
raising up sort of organic growth with local entrepreneurs, or encouraging expansion of business, of local businesses, and you know, what can be done. So
And again, would the Chamber of Commerce be resourceful?
Absolutely. And they should do more for it.
To that end, I might also add that it might be useful. I've spoken to a few local business owners who talk about just the challenge of opening a business in Hudson and what they didn't expect. And it might be useful to partner with the Hudson Business Coalition to talk to some people who have opened businesses and say, you know, what would you have done differently? Because they're happy to share their learnings sometimes and their mistakes. You know, every restaurant owner needs to plan for an extra 6 months as their target open date, and you need to survive. And if you're not prepared for that, and when you start to open, you're already running low on cash, you're really struggling to get by in your first year when you're trying to build a name for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
People should know.
Yeah,
people should know about this.
It's also part of the agency's charter that they're supposed to be an ambassador, and when a business comes through town, it's supposedly, you know, part of their mission is to guide them through the process and help them expedite it and explain to them everything they're going to need in advance,
mm-hmm,
to hopefully help them
That's the Chamber's job.
Yeah.
HDC? Did you say
HDC? Chamber?
You said HDC. I have seen them do that sometimes. I don't know that they have the resources to do it right now, but they should. That would be great.
Who are you talking about? HDC or the Chamber?
I think we're both talking about HDC and someone said the Chamber.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
HDC.
The good news is that they recruited Martha Lane to be on it, who's also part of CBDC.
Yeah.
And the small business loan person.
Oh, yeah.
So having her there is a plus.
Yeah. Well, she's a lovely person. So maybe, I mean, this is, again, really blue sky thinking, but maybe now and again, this body could host a sort of a Q&A session between, a presentation Q&A session between Hudson Business Coalition and interested, you know, business owners, people who are considering Hudson, people who are thinking about considering Hudson, just as sort of an education thing to learn more and have a frank conversation. Here's the pluses here. Here's the kind of cash reserves you need. Here's what you can expect your first year, or, you know,
absolutely,
lessons learned from the trenches kind of thing.
And maybe here's a niche that we need to
and here's
have, because
right.
There might be something that we don't have in the city that would be very successful, that could be a niche in work for the city.
Right, or be synergistic with an existing business. Mm-hmm. You know,
and knowing what the challenges are that affect a lot of the businesses in the city, say seasonal or midweek businesses that are retail or hospitality or tourism focused, you know, might give you some ideas about ways that you can support, you know, smoothing out some of those wrinkles. Mm-hmm. If it's a citywide problem and not limited to a single business, you know that it's, you know, maybe there's an initiative that can be taken. To that end, is the tourism board being reconstituted from the ether, or is there some carryover from prior members? Is the tourism board being reconstituted entirely, or
no.
are there some holdover?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh, is it just one?
From the mayor's office, there's two.
Okay.
We haven't chosen ours yet.
Okay.
There are two people?
No, two who are previously on the board.
Oh, I bet I'm wrong.
Will you throw your name in that, John?
No. I do want to say, I was not overly pleased with the way that the last tourism board handled it. I thought that it was a top-down, sort of ham-fisted way to approach it. Mm-hmm. It would be great to see more bottom-up stuff organically helping build tourism.
So, this is a procedural question. Does this body help the tourism board, or more than that, define the tourism board's mission and goals, or are they at liberty to devise their own once they're formed?
So I'm going to defer to Tom on this one.
The goals, there's a very narrow definition in the charter from when the law was established. Whether we change that or not is optional. Right now, by that same law, Calvin
is the chair
of the tourism.
Yeah,
that's the only connection, mandatory connection.
Right.
You're certainly welcome to work with them, and it would be a good thing to work with them hand in hand. So, you know, in fact, what happened, I think, in the past with it was that it became too independent and never really communicated what was going on with the rest to the rest of the council. So keep that in mind, Calvin. In fact, keep in mind that having the meetings here rather than wherever they were taking place,
right.
I always had a conflict, unfortunately, for most of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at the, when you decide to set up the meetings, you know, look at the calendar to make sure there's not a lot of other things going on. And, yeah, it's an open meeting like all the other meetings, so.
So.
And I know you'd like to be on, so that might be a natural connection.
Yeah.
No, you think.
I said that, but it seemed like there was kind of an open. I have a number of things that are. I got a lot. lot of emails from last night. I don't know about Rebecca or you or.
Okay.
Oh, you didn't? Oh.
I just went from John.
I got a lot.
Yeah, I got. Anyway, so it seems like there might be a number of things that are brewing.
Mm-hmm.
But to go back to my query, I do know that Poppin is you will chair.
Yes.
And so therefore, do they set their agenda? Do they set their goals, or does that come from us?
Yes. So I would say us. Again, I have to be frank with you. I never really were able to attend any of the meetings due to my work schedule and sorts. But I think we can take the initiative and set the tone for the tourism board as well.
Okay, so there's no hard and fast rule.
Yeah,
right.
A question, and this is actually kind of an open question. Previously, the tourism board defined their scope very narrowly, mm-hmm. and there was some issue over whether that was actually defined as so narrowly, legally, or if that was simply their interpretation of the wording that left them with such a strict mandate. Is there some thought as to whether the idea of what is marketing for the city might be loosened up a little bit in its interpretation, not its wording?
And then just to step back from that question, is it about marketing?
Well, it certainly does say what is necessary to market the city. But I think that they glommed on very early to the idea that that had to involve a marketing plan.
Right.
And I don't know, they poo-poo the idea very early of any other initiative. And it would be interesting to know if that is actually a correct interpretation or if that was the only permissible interpretation of what that means. And to get some definition of that from the Economic Development Committee to say we think this, or a legal opinion from, I guess, the city's attorney, would probably be helpful for them going forward.
Yeah, or maybe they just have to gel first and see what seems right.
Well, as you're constituting the committee, it might be worthwhile to say if it's going to be a looser definition that might help you select different committee members, then that might be more appropriate.
You know what I think, Calvin?
What's that?
I think we could, just for right now, decide how we're going to go forward with what we've got, because it seems like I've got a couple pages here.
Yeah, full plate. So I'm on board with that. What's your thoughts, Dan?
Whatever you guys want to do.
All right.
Boy, you're easy.
All right.
Not to squelch a conversation or the blue sky thinking. It's just that I fear that we get a little. Straggled.
Off track a
bit. Yeah, and maybe absolutely. We could take some of these initiatives a step or two and see where we are and see kind of what sticks and what isn't so great, and then move on.
Doesn't apply to the
And then go back. Is that the end?
Yeah, I think sometimes if you try to bite off too much, I think segmenting things like you want to do the college thing, take a certain time, just put that into play, and then other things could possibly grow from that.
Sure.
But in order for that to be successful, you say, for the next X amount of months, we're going to boom, 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 mm-hmm. and put this into play. Because basically, once it happens, like you said, the college is going to take over.
Right.
So just get it in play, let it roll, mm-hmm. And then, you think about, so we have a year, so what exactly is the outcome? Do you want to have three successful things that come out of this? Because again, we talk about government, that works very slow. And I think having three successful projects or ideas coming out of this committee within a year, I think that's very productive,
mm-hmm.
Especially from start to finish,
mm-hmm.
Rather than leaving things kind of hanging sometimes.
Right.
that's just, you know, that's all.
Yeah, no, it seems right.
I agree, kind of just solidifying, you know, three big goals. Like you said, those big goals could kind of branch off into other things in the long run, but, you know, solidifying what it is you want to see happen. Yeah, I agree with that.
So at the end of the, so a year from now, or in December, we can say we've done these three things.
And successful, yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Successful.
Right.
Yeah, successful. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it may not be these three, but.
Right.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Right.
But it could be like a certain priority. You want to do the work side of it. You want to do, you know, encouraging business side. However you want to break it down,
right.
And we'll have one in each of the categories and really, you know, drive it,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and wherever it goes. Okay, so. That's it.
Okay.
Let me throw a little bit more out there for you. Might see a burden, see my burden at this point, but traditionally, Sheena Salvino, who had all these different jobs at once, came to the Economic Development Committee to present what grants were going to be sought.
From her?
From the city.
Oh.
As well, you know, it was very, a lot of things put together then. We're looking at new, you know, who's going to be the grant writers for the future, and we're certainly going to have more public and council input for this next round, and we're trying to start right away because the CDBG grant process heats up, you know, you got to prepare. So you might want to think at some point, what I'll send you is a sample, the areas of four grants that are available, and do some thought to where you see the ones that would be most effective for the economic development of the city. I'm sure we're going to go to the whole council as well, so it's not like, you know, that's a heavy burden for you really, but that's kind of how it's done.
Okay. I mean, you can see what fits into the,
yeah.
That's what you're
exactly.
suggesting, what fits into what we discussed.
Right. Because it hasn't been done in the past 2 years, so we're going to try to do this a little more.
So the barge isn't the barge?
No, there might be. They've we'll know more in a week or two.
I say if I have Melissa, she's...
Yeah, right? Yeah. Right, if we could hire a full-time grant writer, they'd be totally different. I mean, you know, some of these companies, the problem is, you know, they have a lot of clients. And when you're offering a contract of, you know, $25,000 to $30,000, that puts you very low.
Oh, yeah, you're down at the...
Yeah.
We'll get to you when we get to your list.
So we're looking at a bunch of them.
Is there any thought about having a grant commissioner?
I've mentioned it. They haven't followed up with it. But I'll mention it again.
What was that? In their, in the city charter, it says that there's supposed to be a commissioner of grants.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what they're chartered to do is to review documents like the CDBG guide and other guides, grant guides, and come up with some ideas to then pass on.
And
then we could all do that ourselves in a way, but it'd be good. Especially because we have some people who have strong grant.
But then who writes them?
No, we'd still have to go to the grant writer.
Yes, right.
Right.
Okay.
This is just to get the process moving.
Okay. Down. And sort of the select and identifying which would be appropriate, and then the grant writer writes them. Okay. So today is the 16th,
mm-hmm.
and we meet on this is Thursday, the third Thursday.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Today is the third Thursday.
February 20th.
So let's lay out what we should shoot for.
So were you thinking of creating like an agenda for this meeting?
Well, I mean...
Or just kind of pinpointing some topics to discuss furthermore by the next meeting?
I'm asking what you would like to see all of us. Mm-hmm. Who else is on this committee?
I don't know. I mean,
come back to committee with whatever our marching orders for the next council.
Oh, okay. I was going to reach out to Jeff Hunt at HDC and just try to coordinate, inviting him as a guest to speak to, some of the mentions that we discussed in regards to bolstering, local business and, the endeavors that go along with that. I think it would be also valuable to invite... Melissa at River House, and
I think Melissa's at
she's at
River House.
No, Basilica.
Oh, Basilica. Yeah. Excuse me. Okay.
I mean, I have that wrong. She does both.
Yeah.
But okay. Right, and she has that as well.
And reaching out to the folks at Spark, Susan, was it Dan Sager?
Mm-hmm. Dan Zicker.
And Albert Wagner. Again, just kind of conveying our thoughts about how we could collaborate, essentially, with these different entities.
They're the ones with Spark, which is going to be the co-working space, right?
Right.
And, okay. And then there's CEDC, Mike Duggar. Do you have any idea if they have a collaboration going with Columbia Green?
Who's that?
William Farmer. I mean, do you have any, or does anybody have any idea about how they're developing or...
it's like an in-house training program.
It's an in-house training. So they're doing it themselves.
They're doing it themselves.
Okay.
There's a small culinary art program that happens. Start, but there is none at Hospitality or Culinary Arts at Columbia Green.
So Hospitality would be In this case, it means restaurant management.
It can be front of the house,
back of
the
house.
Different kinds of skills.
Right.
Okay. Well, presumably they're also,
they're specifically training people to work in their restaurant or another restaurant. But, front of the house is like back of the house.
Is that just a back of the house thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is that just a back of the house, like kitchen skills?
It's both.
Huh.
So it's... Okay, cool.
But it's, like Tom said, it's a very small program. It's not, a hotel school. It's for a few people at a time.
Yeah, no, it's not Cornell.
No.
But, even if they're doing it just for themselves, they've got a commitment.
We're planning on your working kitchen. I think they have a space that they're going to develop or have to develop. I'm not even sure.
Is that to rent out to other people who are?
Okay, so since that seems that nobody's really sure, why don't I reach out to her? Is it her?
Mm-hmm.
And just see what they're up to, see what they're doing,
yeah,
understand their scope,
mm-hmm.
their time frame, what they're doing, when they, just to get a little more information,
mm-hmm.
because we're kind of guessing, and we have no idea where. Okay, so I'll do that. Tom, I have a sense you're sitting there waiting for me to say, I'll call Mike Tucker.
No, there's no urgency to call Mike Tucker.
Okay. Okay, that's cool.
I mean, he always wants to,
I know.
Get involved, but.
Yeah.
Where do you find the next
reason? Yeah, I think so. Good.
Who's the contact at the Hudson Business Coalition?
Did you mention
it?
I'm not part of it.
Oh, I don't think
you
did mention
that
person.
Okay.
I didn't know Rosenthal.
I think it's John Rosenthal. I don't know.
Oh, Chuck Rosenthal. Oh, I definitely heard John. Yeah.
Are you part of the HBC This, sir? Are you part of the HPC listserv? They have, you can actually just look up the Hudson Business Coalition and
okay.
join their listserv.
Okay. Thank you.
It's sort of a bulletin board, it just goes into your email.
Okay.
Okay, so Calvin, you're going to reach out to Jeff Hunt?
Jeff Hunt.
And are you going to reach out to the college?
Yes, Jeff Hunt and the college. And
okay. Well, if you've got two, I'll take two.
Okay.
So I've taken Christian Keck.
Yep, at Farmer and Sons.
Right.
And was the other CD or CEDC?
I think we decided to wait until we had something
okay.
a little more solid to talk to them about.
Okay.
So that leaves. Wait on that. That leaves the Spark people and Melissa to feel her out, see what's out there. Oh, Dominic, are you going to do Access VR?
Sure. I can see, what kind of funding, how they can be involved
mm-hmm.
in terms of, because, like I said, there are two entities, and one of them is about jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And and see how where they can fit into the pie if you want. But I just want to know what am I asking? In terms of to see if they're willing to come in and do a presentation about how they can fit into the city and what or. I mean, where are we going with the contact of the
yeah.
people? Contact them and saying, hey, this is us. We're going to be stalking you. I don't know.
Oh, maybe that's fine. I don't know. You know what it feels like to me? It feels like we're still in this kind of discovery mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So maybe we just find out more what they're doing and what we want to do, and our sort of big remit is to get something going with.
Okay. I mean, I can ask, what I can ask then is say, listen, this is what we're thinking about. We're going to have a presentation, about, the college construction. Do you have anyone on your list that might be interested in attending something like this?
Yeah.
Because, they have a list of individuals they work with that this might, work, because I know one, because I was working with this one gentleman that was automotive, so I helped send him to the automotive side and getting him a job, at Jiffy, so I know that was the automotive side. So they might have a bigger list that I don't know about, that they might have some people interested in the construction fields.
So, or maybe automotive is another area.
Presumably workforce development, Columbia Green would have some workforce participation and labor statistics for the city of Hudson. I mean, I'm sure that they did one in 2010 of the last decennium, but that's got to be way outdated by now.
Mm-hmm.
But they must have some kind of information rather than just sort of guessing who's working where.
The college is Dr. Drummer, the college is working on an updated inventory of that that's supposed to be ready in about 2 months.
Okay. 2 months. I would imagine that data would be especially useful as you're seeing, where are the gaps we need to bridge.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And so, if it's worthwhile, I could also reach out to the workforce office space at the college in conjunction with reaching out to, Peter, what was her name? The president of the college?
Dr. Drummer.
Dr. Drummer. And the dean of students. Not to kibosh access VR, but we can always consider that.
Kibosh whatever you want, I don't care.
Okay. Do we wait on the Melissa thing, understanding that maybe it's a little premature right now. We'll see where we kind of land with this other stuff. It would be interesting to me to know if the college has or is planning any sort of curriculum around, media skills, post-production, audio production, post-production. Since that's, that's got the advantage of being very carbon neutral, very sustainable growth industry, and something that this area seems to be wishing to be known for.
Right, absolutely. So,
maybe we would talk to them first and then go to her, or see if she's in conversation.
I know that, she comes from a background which is much more in trade schools, trade education, competency-based education, and she wants very much to have more of that at Columbia Green. And she's doing this assessment now and is in the process of gathering information to see what kinds of new programs they could start with the rest of the area.
Oh.
So it would be a very opportune time to have a conversation.
Okay.
So she's going down the same path we are, really.
Yes. Very.
That's very timely.
And putting resources into it to do some of the studies and stuff.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well. All right. That's good information. Then I retract my statement. I think it would be very.
They do have. They have the automotive program. They have stuff, and the nursing program obviously is a big program. But she wants to expand those programs.
Dr. Drummer.
So you think, since we're on this kind of job kind of thing. Should we also kind of reach out to another avenue and maybe look at other certificate programs like clerical that can be part of this? That, you know, as you know, as the recruitment saying there's this, but there's also some clerical, so for office work and things like that, that might be certificate, you know, programs that they have that are available for, you know, because it's not just construction, then we're going for office work and clerical work that might have that kind of training kind of aspect. That are certificate, I say that because, you know, it's a shorter term, usually work around if somebody has another part-time job, children, however, but maybe what else is out there that we could utilize in this same vein of the, you know, the opportunity that are there.
Absolutely.
So, an extension of that, maybe lumping it in, is accounting services.
But yes, yeah, right, sure.
Skilled accounting, sophisticated skilled accounting is really prized and really necessary.
I'm just thinking like some of the jobs that I know right now that people get for are clerical.
Yeah, you're right.
That's
a good idea.
And yeah, again, maybe, you know, I'm thinking the workforce from the college could speak to this as well, and some of their connections in regards to, you know, certificate programs or sites.
Or even if you want to start on the other end, you know, because some of these things are going to need foundation, their GED program, that's that. Because that's a stepping stone to the other thing.
Right, to get you, to make you eligible for further training.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, you know, I think inviting the college is the springboard almost in regards to branching out to these other projects.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, you saw, I'll follow through with that.
Okay, so really, it's very superficial, but I know Melissa, kind of. I can reach out to her and let her know what it is we're doing and see how that dovetails to what she's doing. Perhaps she would want to join, come and hear what the college has to say if she's pursuing the same thing on her own. Maybe.
Does she now sit on a regional economic development board?
Yes, she does.
Yeah. Yeah, I haven't seen her in any meetings about the waterfront either. But I'm sure she's kept very busy.
Well, it doesn't mean
anything.
So when she comes, we've got to keep an eye on her notebook to see what's in her notebook.
I mean, maybe she says, no thanks, I'm good. I'm, you know, chugging down my
Do you know what that entity is, Carol?
I'm sorry?
Do you know what that entity that she's sitting on now?
Yeah, it's the region of the
capital. I mean, what region does it
cover? Capital region.
Our region.
It is the capital region. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I would make the argument that the capital region economic development is a really great idea because it's such a so inclusive, but she's right here in town, so her entities are right here in town. What she needs is right here in town talent, not talent in Albany. I'm not making decisions on her behalf, but it would seem to me that she would also have an interest in the stuff that's in
her. I wasn't sure if it was Alliance for the Creative Economy. There's an upstate Alliance for the Creative Economy that actually does some really interesting stuff.
It feels like we're talking about something a little different, but you don't know until you ask.
Yeah.
Okay, what about the Danziger Wagner duo? An opportunity.
This was the co-working space?
Yeah, I'll send you the contact information.
Okay.
Sound good?
Okay,
adjourn?
Ready?
Anything from the public? Okay, good. Did you eat dinner yet?
I'm going to go to the next one.